welcome back to Tea Time. So today we're going to have kind of an unscripted conversation about some news that has been happening this week regarding the church. As many of you may remember, we've mentioned several times that we are big fans of Beth Moore and her Bible studies. And if any of you guys have done them before, then you probably know her name too. And she was in the church news this week regarding the fact that she has ended her partnership with Lifeway and has also announced that she's leaving the SBC denomination. So just because of, you know, who she is and the impact she's had on us, and also I think women in the church at large, we wanted to make sure that we took some time just to have a discussion about that today. So we invite you to join us, and we hope that today's conversation is a blessing and an encouragement to you.
Okay, good. So we all read the same article. Awesome. So that's what yes. I got from the article. What'd you guys get from it?
I mean, I feel the same way, but I mean, obviously I think I'm in the same boat as you, where I track all this stuff pretty closely. You know, I mean, I know what's going on with Beth. I know what's going on with the church. So I didn't see it, just like you, I did not see it as a surprise. But you know, I actually, you know, I could relate it kind of to the Capitol riots. We were talking about that, you know, in one of my classes when it happened. And for those of us who are in that field, it was not a surprise at all, because it's literally like a textbook case of all these warning signs are here that we're, you know, susceptible to something like this is going to happen, but it doesn't make it any less traumatic. So it's like, yeah, I saw that, but it still didn't make me sad. And so what I want to say, I don't mean sad like I'm sad Beth left, because like I'm with you, Tish, 100%. I see that as a positive thing. And I think that was another reason why I wanted to bring it up and talk about it, is because I think we might in our own little bubble kind of be like, well, duh, of course, yay, go Beth. But like, there's other people out there who might be really still feeling that place of hopelessness and like need that encouragement. And like, they need to like see that like, yeah, I'm not alone in this. Like, no, look, there's people standing out like Beth Moore, you know, like they need to like not be alone in their, like, I guess, discouragement and disillusionment about a lot of the stuff that's been happening in, you know, the SBC or whatever. I feel like I don't want to super drag the SBC, because I don't really know them. I'm not a Southern Baptist, you know, but all the stuff that Beth stands up against, I think, is biblical stuff to stand up against.
Yeah.
And I think there's people who are in a place where they feel like, I don't understand. I'm a Christian. Why are these other Christians talking about this stuff, and I feel so alone? And so I think it can be reassuring to see somebody like, you know, like Beth Moore be like, yes, I'm glad that you're standing up against this too. Now I'm not like knowing I'm crazy. I'm the only Christian who feels like.
Okay, I see what you mean now. I get it. I was understanding what you were saying.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying that you know people might be feeling some sort of angst or disillusionment about her leaving the SBC, but yeah, like negative way, like that she should have stayed, which to me sounds like they would have the SBC as opposed to, but I understand what you mean now.
Yeah. That's what I meant. But I also feel like there's people who aren't tracking this like we are and who aren't knowing. And yeah, maybe they just like don't even know what the SBC is and don't whatever. They just know that they bought her Bible study books and they're just like, what? Wait, I'm confused. Is she leaving the church? Is she not a Christian? You know what I mean? So I think it's like, I just think it's a nice thing to talk about, because she's such a prominent person. We've mentioned her so many times.
Right.
And just to, I was gonna bring it up, I would hope, as encouragement, because I actually feel like I have encountered quite a few Christians over the past few years who feel like they can't be Christian anymore. Who feel like, I mean, and it's not just like a isolated few, it's people from all different groups and all different places, different circles that I know, people who literally are telling me like, yeah, I just don't want to be part of that anymore because of what they're starting to see and believe Christianity is, that it's something different than what they thought it was. And a lot of it is, you know, the stuff that Beth is coming out against. So I think it's important. I want to bring up that, like, you know, yeah, if you're feeling like this, you're not alone. Like there, you know, there's other people in the church who also are like, no, this is not the gospel. This is not God. This is not what we're supposed to be centered on.
Right.
You know?
Okay, cool.
Yeah. We just heard the news. Drea, you texted and was like, hey, did you hear, you know, about Beth Moore, you know, leaving the SBC? And when we say SBC, that's the Southern Baptist Convention. you know, the organization where a lot of churches are umbrella under, right? So they have a, so just like a business, you have standards and guides that you would follow under. And oh yeah, so you text it and you know, I was like, oh my gosh, you know. So no, it's not a shock, but it was a shock, if that makes sense. Just because of, I just see a lot of time and change, and it's not a bad thing that she left. It's like, yay, go Mama Beth, you know, for standing up for what you believe in. And I'm totally not against it. Because, you know, get like I, like we stand for, our motto is you're free in Christ. And as believers, we have to follow after Christ. You know, what does God tell us to do? And he is the standard. And so if we're, if the church is saying one thing, like, you know, women are less than, or they're allowing women to be abused mentally, physically, emotionally, it's like, we can't support that, because God, Jesus did not do that, right? He, his part of his mission on earth was to seek those who needed redemption.
It's okay. I mean, I relate to what you're saying about how it's not shocking, but it's shocking. There are probably some better words for this, but yeah, you know, yeah, I think that something can happen that you saw coming, but it doesn't necessarily take away from that shock reaction that you feel, as far as it kind of being like a little, somewhat of a trauma to kind of see it. And again, like, yeah, even if it, if you see it as a positive thing, even if you know it's healthy, that doesn't make it easy. And that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. You know, when separation happens, that's healthy separation, or when you leave something that you know was toxic that you need to get out of, it doesn't necessarily mean that leaving it always feels good, or that it's always easy. You know, that can be hard for people who are either in that, maybe that same space of wondering whether they should be, you know, leaving a situation because it's maybe not right for them anymore. Or just, you know, of confusion, you know, if you're not sure why she left or what. So I think anytime you hear something like that, it can be a little bit of a shock. And I think the reason specifically why some of these things in the church can be such a shock and such trauma is because Christianity is an identity for a lot of people, you know? And so one of the things, you know, I know we talked about in our conversations before we started doing this podcast, like over the past few years, is how I personally have had a lot of, I think, some of the shock and trauma with things that have been happening in the church in the recent years. And I want to be like kind of careful how I explain this, because I never felt like my love for Jesus changed. I never felt like my understanding of his love for me changed. So on one level, my personal relationship with God and my belief in Christ has never been affected. But I did start to recognize that there are other dimensions to our Christian identity than our own personal relationship with Christ. And until you have kind of that moment of reckoning, you're not always aware of that. You might grow up and kind of see, to a certain extent, your relationship with Christ and your church that you attend as like a synonymous thing. You know, you might kind of just, if you're raised in Christian culture, you might never really learn to distinguish the two between your personal relationship with Christ and also all these other things that really aren't your personal relationship with Christ, but that are just part of your culture, you know. And that's, you know, going to church and just these different church practices and things you do at church and the friends you have at church. And so, you know, when something happens that kind of forms that cleavage for you, even if your faith is solid and even if your relationship with God is solid, it can start to put some cracks in kind of your identity. If all of a sudden people, you know, if you're part of a denomination, all of a sudden you feel like this denomination no longer represents you at all or what you believe at all, but that was part of your identity your whole life, that can be, you know, kind of shocking. And I know Beth has shared that she has felt like that. You know, she grew up in this church, in this denomination, and she's felt herself like, you know, wow, like I don't know how, you know, I can feel so maybe like, you know, alone in my own, in part of what has been my own identity, you know?
Yeah, I was scrolling through trying to find a couple of points that
I wanted to make, but I wanted to make sure that I pulled it from some articles about her departure, and there are two. So one of them says, Southern Baptists need to do some soul searching of why so many African-American leaders have left, and now why their most prominent woman leader has left. And that was from Ed Stitzer. He's the executive director of Wheaton College. He has lots of books, especially if you've been in seminary, you know, you'll probably come across a few of his books. And then the second one that I wanted to bring up says, Southern Baptists are currently grappling with the influence of partisan politics and the treatment of women and people of color within the church. These major tension points contributed to Moore's decision to leave, as well as those of Black pastors. And then they go on to list a few of them. And so I think those two concepts were what gripped me most when reading the article that said that she left, because as we mentioned, we've seen this coming for a really long time. Beth Moore and her daughters have been very vocal about, you know, the sentiment Black Lives Matter, not the organization. And then about all of the abuse and treatment of women, there's been countless stories that have come out over the last several years. And she's been vocal about every one of them. And so I think I when I read it, I was like, hashtag she's my hero, because I just think Beth Moore has been phenomenal at stepping up, because number one, she's a white woman that is a part of a very large, like you said, organization that has some real big clout. For her to push back in the way that she has been, just based on the truth of the Bible, you don't treat people like that. We are all made in God's image. We should be treating people with equality. And her, I've been a fan of her and her children being so vocal from day one, because they just have. So that's why this was not really wasn't shocking to me at all. I was more applauding her for it. And then, but what's nice about it is that because she is their most prominent woman, it should be a wake-up call. And it should call, you know, maybe some people don't know who Charlie Dates is. He's a very amazing African-American pastor. And so him leaving, his church leaving the SBC might have not been a big deal. But when Beth Moore, who is a very prominent Bible teacher and leader, especially for women, does it, it should cause a lot more of us to consider what are the things that are going on in the SBC and what we are actually aligning ourselves with. And sometimes, you know, unknowingly.
Yeah, I feel like I agree, you know, with everything you're saying. Especially about just, you know, being unfamiliar with the SBCs, particularly other than just what I read about it, with the way Beth Moore has spoken up. Because if anything, I think some of the sadness that I felt in hearing this wasn't so much at her decision, but just more of the state of the church, you know, as far as a large body, in that Beth Moore, I have never seen her say something that I don't think is biblical. You know, I have never, even no matter how strong or, you know, passionate her position is, I never see her speaking from what appears to me to be, you know, just solely in her flesh, where it's not based on sound biblical, you know, verses, you know, theology, all of that. And so the fact that so much of what she says is controversial, that in itself has grieved my heart for so long. Cause I'm like, you know, if you can take a woman who is anybody who listens to her, it's so clear that she had, number one, has a love for Christ, and number two, has an absolute love and deference for the Bible, you know, that she is 100%, you know, teaching and speaking from the Word of God. And so if you can see a woman like her as controversial, that hurts me. You know, it's like that in our church, like that shouldn't be the case, that somebody who is so aligned with God's word her words should be considered controversial within the church. I mean, yes, the world, sure, but not the church, you know? And so that, I think that is kind of what hurts me. It's like, man, if one of the largest denominations in Christianity in America doesn't have room for one of the most, you know, straight line to the Bible preachers that I've had the opportunity to learn from, man, like, what does that say about our church right now in our country? And that, I think, is where some of that hurt come from. And so I respect her, everything, all her choices, but that's, I think, where some of that sadness is from for me.
Yeah. So yeah, the sadness, right. Not from her leaving, yay her. But just, I guess when I heard it, I was picturing just for non-believers. It's like, gosh, you know, you're saying, you know, love Jesus, come to Christ, you know, do this, but yet y'all don't have it together. And not that anybody does, but it's just like, I'm just saying from the non-believer's point of view, I don't even know because I'm not a non-believer, but I'm just saying, like, if you have this organization that just are fighting, you know, on the little minute details of, you know, whether, you know, women should teach in the church or if they should have certain rights or treated as equal as men in the church, that is a sadness to me. And that's just, I don't know. I feel like we need to get it together and just know that our mission is to, you know, bring Christ to everyone and encourage our brothers and sisters. And, you know, we have Paul who just goes throughout the church, you know, sending letters to churches just saying that we should get along and that we're supposed to, you know, encourage each other and stand up for what's right and holding people to the word of God. And she did that by her move. She's like, we need to stand on the word of God. And I love that about her. And it's encouraging to me, you know, where you're a Christian living in this world where everything and everyone seems to be against you, or you're like tapped on the head or, you know, people wagging their finger about what you commit your life to because it's different from what they're doing. So it's encouraging that she's like, I'm going against, I'm going to be like that salmon swimming upstream when all the other fish are swimming downstream. So I commend her for that. I just, you know, thought that this was a really good conversation to have to just say that God should be put first. You know, and that's all that matters. And we need to be held accountable to all of it. So no matter what church conventions, you know, people belong to, but just keeping Jesus at the forefront and, you know, thinking about what love is. What is love? Because essentially that's how we should operate, is in love. And love is kind. Love is patient. You know, love does not provoke. And so we need to, you know, to really walk in that and grasp it and share it with others. So,
yeah. And I agree with you that I think it's a big encouragement what she did. And I think that's was one of my motivations for wanting to just bring this up and discuss this today. Because I back to kind of like what I was talking on before about, you know, how sometimes, you know, your identity can be shaken a little bit when something happens within your culture. Even though, like I said, I haven't had my personal faith shaken, I can really speak to some of that shaking in my identity. Over these past several years, I, you know, have had several times where I have felt like for the first time in my life, I did not fit in, you know, maybe my church or in my, you know, Christian community or what I thought was my Christian community. So I have, you know, learned to let that evolve and to, you know, view my community differently and what is my community differently. But yes, there have been periods where what I thought was, you know, was my Christian community that was part of my identity. I have felt like I did what no longer identified with them. You know, and I don't want to like reveal too much personal stuff, but I remember back, Tish, when you lived up here by me, you know, you and I once having a text exchange over some different things that were going on, and you sharing something very similar, that for the first time you kind of felt like you had a separate identity from a lot of these other people around you that you, you know, had up until that point maybe had a shared identity in Christ. And so that's basically what I'm saying, is I had, you know, that same experience where all of a sudden I felt like, I don't understand. I haven't changed. I still believe in the Bible. I thought you believed in the Bible. Why are we so apart right now? You know, why is there so much of this division here? And why do I feel like every other person around me who is a Christian disagrees with me, feels like, and I'm not talking about little things, I'm saying like, they feel like, you know, I'm the enemy or something, or I'm not a true believer. It almost can kind of mess with your head. And so I'm bringing this up just because I feel like I'm probably not the only person in who's experienced something like this. You know, I've heard accounts from other people that are similar, where you almost kind of start to feel like, you know, okay, if I, you know, I'm the one who's crazy. If everybody else is saying like, this is how the church should be, this and that. And you're like, I don't feel that way. It can make you feel like there's something wrong with you. And Beth Moore has been an encouragement to me, because she's been somebody throughout pretty much my whole adult Christian life I've looked up to. And the fact that she didn't waver from that place where she, you know, she stood firm to the Bible, but she also didn't go in some of these other directions that I was seeing other people in the church go that really hurt me. That was a big encouragement to me, the fact that she stayed firm to the Word of God. And, you know, yeah, didn't deviate from that. You know, I don't want to go too much into the specifics, because there's all kinds of specifics of ways people can deviate. But that was an encouragement to me. And I feel like if she hadn't, that would have hurt. You know, I mean, again, I think God would still be God, but man, if these people you've been looking up to your whole life, your pastors, your leaders, all of a sudden are saying stuff that you feel like is 100% counter to the teachings of God and to who you have known them to be as a person, that can really shake you and disillusion you. And so we need people. I know that Beth Moore's not the only one. We need other people in the church to also stand up when you see things like white supremacy being upheld, when you see things like misogyny being upheld, when you see things like abuse being upheld. We need other people to stand up and not just sit back and let that become the overwhelming voice of what the church is. Because otherwise you have all these people sitting there just, you know, alone. They're not in fellowship. That's not fellowship. That's not community. That's not what the church is supposed to be. If you can't be yourself and be free in Christ and be there without, you know, being exposed to hurt and to abuse, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to add for, you know, I don't know if we're going to keep going, but I wanted to add this in closing. There was a quote from a Southern Baptist sexual abuse survivor about this, about Beth Moore. And she said, "Beth is not leaving Christ. She's just leaving a toxic faith system that made it difficult for her to serve Christ and lead her ministry. Anyone who believes that Beth needs the SBC really doesn't trust Christ and his ability to use her." And I liked the toxic faith system thing, because we're not in any way saying the SBC is wrong, but it, within the SBC, there, and just like within the world and, you know, people that are outside of the SBC, what we're challenging are these toxic faith systems that are leading us to no longer stand on and walk in God's word, but to uphold these other standards that we are creating for, you know, other people and for ourselves. And that goes, you know, right along the lines of our number one message of Galatians 5:1, and not being, not submitting again to any yoke of slavery once we have been set free in Christ through the gospel. And so I don't know if you guys had anything to add, but I thought that was a good way. That was a good phrase to keep in my mind going forward, just constantly challenging what might be a toxic faith system that I'm walking in or that I'm operating in. Because it's, you know, it's not just those large ones like sexual abuse or white supremacy, or like you said, misogyny. It can be anything that's against the gospel, you know?
Yeah, I think that's good. I think I want to adopt that question. And I think I want to expand it too, to kind of like our identities. You know, I think God cares so much about our identity being alone in him. And that extends even to when our identity is the church. And the church is part of, you know, God's design for us. So that's a beautiful thing. And so I'm in no way disparaging the church, but at the same time, we can't let our identity be anything but Christ, you know, because when our identity extends to systems around us and things like that, those things are all just, you know, things built by man, and they're going to crumble. They're going to hurt us. So they're going to be part of us and our personality and our culture. And sure, that shapes our identity. But at the end of the day, yeah, if your faith is in your church denomination, then, like, you know, like it's going to have the opportunity to be shaken, you know, whereas Christ, he's, you know, he doesn't change. He's the same as he was yesterday, today, and always.
Yep. Amen to that.
Amen. So I just want to leave off with the scripture to tie up what you both just said, and, you know, what we're saying about what Beth did. And so this is Galatians 1:10. It says, "For am I now trying to win the favor of people or God? Or am I striving to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a slave of Christ." So I think we just need to keep that on our mind, that we're here to please people. I mean, oh, Lord have mercy. Please God, please God, please God. Live for God, and not people, and to be encouraged to live as God has called us to live, and not have the mindset of Pharisees. And again, we're not discounting any of the church conventions or the church, because, you know, we're supposed to be in community. But just saying that we have to be very careful of what of how we live our life and what we're patterning our lives after, and not being religious. You know, it's about relationship. And so, and if we're so concerned about rule, yes, we have to have rules. But if we're so concerned about the rules that we're not concerned about the relationship, then we run people away. So that's my two cents. All right. So let us know what you think. Share with us. Message us on Instagram at Galatians.51. Because we would love to really hear what you think and how you feel, and were you encouraged about today's conversation or not, or school us on some things that maybe we don't know about. All right, join us next time.